You are listening to John Diard's Life Spa, your premier source for health news and Ayurveda, where modern science meets ancient wisdom.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. John Diard. Welcome to the Life Spa podcast, where we prove the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with modern science. And today, I want to take a deep dive into one of Ayurveda's most effective and well-studied herbs called ashwagandha. Ashwagandha, the botanical name is Withania somnifera, which means basically that this agent was used and well studied originally for its ability to help people go to sleep. And then if you dissect what makes us not go to sleep, you find yourself looking down the barrel of stress. Then when you look at our culture compared to ancient cultures, which were way more chill and relaxed and kind of in rhythm with nature than ours, you see that we are under a huge amount of stress in our culture. And what ashwagandha does as one of the classic adaptogens, it helps the body adapt to stress. And that's huge in our culture, because what we tend to do when we're under stress is we go to a stimulant. We want more coffee or more caffeine or more sugar or salt or chips, things like that. Or some people are using nicotine now to get the energy and the mental focus and the cognitive function and the pleasure that they once could get on their own quite naturally. So what ashwagandha provides is something to give us deep, deep rejuvenation, as opposed to giving you a drug to sedate yourself to going to sleep. Ashwagandha is not a sedative. And ashwagandha is not a stimulant, but studies show, as we're going to dive into the research in detail, that ashwagandha can give you the energy that you actually need to sedate yourself to go to sleep. It can actually give you the deep, deep rejuvenation to run a marathon or have the cognitive function to take your final exams more effectively. So it's that ability to give you the energy to have deep, deep rest and that ability to have dynamic activity. And that happens when we are de-stressed. So that's probably the number one thing about ashwagandha, is it's going to help the body cope and adapt to stress. And in this world, it's almost like, the reason why it's so famous and it's been so well studied is because it can actually do that, and we are in so desperate need of something that can do that. It is naturally harvested in the fall for the winter. In the ancient times, they would take the root and they would put it in soups and stews and they would cook it. So it would be a natural rejuvenative and a natural adaptogen that would help the body during the winter months. During the winter months, we all hear of seasonal affective disorder, where people get depressed because of no sunlight. Well, the sun actually, during the summer months, does produce serotonin. And interestingly, during the winter months, there's no sunlight, so there's much less serotonin from the sun, so therefore we see more depression during that time of the year. But nature did have a plan for that, and that was to give us herbs, or particularly roots, that would be harvested in the fall for that winter precursor support for our own serotonin. And ashwagandha is one of those, a warm, heavy, sweet root harvested in the fall for the winter. Excuse me. Bacopa is another herb. It's really good if fall harvested, another serotonin precursor, both of which are what are called brain-derived neurotropic factors. All this means that the ashwagandha and the bacopa, by the way, both fall harvested for winter mood support, depression support, that kind of thing. In the winter, they build the brain-derived neurotropic factors. So we build more brain cells, which is great for all of us as we age. And it also increases the serotonin, and it also activates a neurotransmitter called the gamma-aminobutyric acid, or the GABA receptors, which are really good for mood stability and support, which we're going to dive into. But the idea here is that it's a seasonal herb. So every time fall comes along, we should bring that out of the cupboard and start eating that, putting in our soups and stews or taking it as a supplement to give us that, particularly if you're under a lot of stress or you're not sleeping well or you're having some of the issues that we're going to talk about today. I mean, the science shows, and we're going to dive into each of these topics in a little more detail, that it'll increase your fertility, right? A stress-related issue. Decreasing your anxiety, again, a stress-related issue. It actually will help reverse and lower your metabolic syndrome, your cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure, all that stuff. We'll talk about that in detail. Again, linked to stress, insulin resistance, diabetes, linked to stress, cognitive decline as we age, clearly linked to stress, and our sleep linked to stress. So we're going to dive into each of these topics in this podcast. So stay with me as we take a deep dive. But what you're actually seeing about ashwagandha is this beautiful, beautiful adaptogen that helps us deal with that. So instead of giving you a stimulant to make you borrow money from the bank to get the energy for the day and go therefore into debt over time, this actually gives you sort of that ability to handle the stress like water off a duck's back. You're not borrowing money. You're not stimulating the body to make energy it doesn't really have, further driving the body further into exhaustion, creating therefore more cravings and more dependencies on more stimulants like caffeine and nicotine and sugar and chips and things like that. So that's the beauty of ashwagandha. So let's dive in. The other thing about ashwagandha, and I'll talk about the safety first because some researchers, publications have been talking about the safety of ashwagandha in the EU. They talk about the safety of ashwagandha, tulsi, turmeric, things that have been around as foods and spices for thousands and thousands of years. All of a sudden, they're saying in some studies they're showing some liver toxicity, but in other studies they don't. And I want to explain to you why ashwagandha and how ashwagandha and all these herbs can really be safe. Whenever you take, and unfortunately most of the studies on ashwagandha are with extracts, which means they take the root and they soak it in alcohol and they make it sterile. When it's sterile, it's a completely different herb than it is when it's alive and has its natural occurring microbiome. Just like if I took your microbiome away and sterilized you, you'd be a completely different human. You wouldn't have the cognitive function, the immune, the emotional capacity, the immune capacity, none of that would be the same. So our bugs are a huge, if not the major chunk of who we are. And they're the major chunk of everything in nature. So when you start taking an herb like ashwagandha and extract just the withalloids, just some of the constituents or the curcumin in turmeric, which is one of 300 constituents, you make it into something completely different, and it's sterile, and it acts completely different. I wrote articles, at least three articles at lifespa.com, about the difference between the whole plant of the turmeric and the extracted version of the turmeric, the curcumin, and how the whole plant, all 300 constituents with the microbiome, outperform the curcumin time and time again. However, the curcumin has, as an extract, sterile, concentrated, one of 300 constituents, has been shown in studies to help reverse colon cancer and breast cancer in some studies. But it's not without side effects, without consequences. Whenever you take something in nature and mess with it, or concentrate it, or sterilize it, you're going to make it more like a drug, and there's going to be consequences. Now, the good may weigh out the bad, and it may be well worth taking curcumin if you have a condition. But if you're looking for something just for preventative sake, you want the whole plant with its entire microbiome intact. That's a critical piece of the puzzle. The other thing about ashwagandha, when I first went to India in 1986 for the first time, and I started learning Ayurveda and understanding how herbs are made and how they come from the forest or they come from farms. And you go to these markets and there's huge piles of ashwagandha. There's like the really expensive pile, the not so expensive pile, the least expensive pile, and then there's the junk pile of ashwagandha, which is like dirt cheap. And in the junk pile, you don't even know what you're going to get, but generally it's the roots, some maybe, but generally in the junk pile, you get mostly the leaves and the stems. And the only thing that you want to get is the whole root. So when you look for an ashwagandha supplement, it should be the entire root, no leaves, no stems. Sometimes they don't even tell you that, but it should, if it's a reliable company, tell you it's from the root. That's what we use at LifeSpa, only the root. If it has leaves and stems, remember, ashwagandha is a nightshade, and you really don't get the nightshade properties in the root, but you definitely get it in the leaves and the stems. There's a berry on it, which is a powerful nightshade agent that you want to be really careful of. So that's one thing you want to know about. The other thing about, you know, ashwagandha is that when you take the root and it's not the extract, it's the whole herb, it should be manufactured by what's called a GMP FDA certified lab, which means that when we get the raw material from India, or sometimes now even from the States that's growing them here, we have to test it as soon as we get it. And we test it for heavy metals, pesticides, identity, and all the microbiome. And then if we take it, like what I do with our ashwagandha at LifeSpa, because it's a heavy, warm, sweet root, a lot of folks, unfortunately, again, because of stress, don't have good digestion. They don't have the ability to digest heavy, warm, sweet roots. So they don't digest the ashwagandha so well. And that's why people give you extracts, because it's a little bit easier. But there's a downside to that, as I just mentioned. But if you add a little bit of ginger into the ashwagandha, that gives it your stomach the digestive strength it needs to break down the ashwagandha. And if you're taking in the fall for the winter eating, turns out that our digestive strength in the winter is stronger than it is in the summer. In the summer, the foods are cooked on the vine. And nature was like, we evolved to be able to dissipate heat really, really well. So in the summer, when we're eating foods out of our garden and we can't eat them fast enough, we don't have to cook as much food because the fruits and the vegetables are coming off the vine and they're very cooling. If we had to cook a lot of heavy meats during the summer months, that would heat the body up in a hot season and maybe overheat the body. So nature had a plan to keep us in the hot season cool, in the cold season warm, with heavier roots like ashwagandha, nuts or seeds, grains, and even animal protein was the call in the winter, that we had the digestive strength that both warmed us up in the winter and also helped us digest the heavier and more dense foods. It's a fact. I've written articles about the science behind that. We don't talk much about that, but that's where the seasonal eating comes into play. I wrote a book called The Three Season Diet, eating with the three major harvests in nature, right? A spring harvest, which is very austere, no carbohydrates, no pizza or pasta harvest in the spring. Very austere, kind of mucusless diet at that time, so to avoid allergies in the spring. The summer is a very cooling fruit and vegetable diet to keep us cool in the summer. In the fall, for winter, is going to be more nuts and seeds, way more abundant in all types of calories, lots more carbohydrates and starches to store and reserve fuel, and to give us that insulation we might need to endure a very cold winter. And then in the dead of winter, we would then hunt and eat more of these heavier foods or root vegetables that would store very, very easily in a pack. You could carry it around, and those roots would last a very, very long time. And they were cooked in soups and stews or ground into powders and eaten them. And that's how ashwagandha sort of became famous. It was warming and strengthening, gave you stamina and energy, could help you sleep at night. So during this stressful winter, it would make a lot of sense. And this is very typical when you think about, just as I digress, as we think about food scarcity, as most of our ancestors experienced periods of feast and famine. And many of our ancestors didn't make it because of overeating in one season. All the Native American cultures learned that if they were going to survive, they wouldn't overhunt in the summer months when they couldn't eat the food out of their gardens fast enough. They would eat all the garden food, and then they would hunt during the winter. If they hunted in the summer, there'd be nothing to hunt in the winter, and they would die because they didn't have anything to eat in the winter because there's no vegetables growing at that time. And this was true almost around the world, that the tribes or the kings would decree, even in Tahiti, they decreed foods, periods where certain foods were not allowed to be eaten, according to the king. And that's why Tahiti and those islands, they thrived for many, many, many thousands of years. Where Easter Island, they didn't get that memo, and they starved because they overhunted, overate, and had nothing left to eat. So anyway, that point is that we're seasonal beings, we're circadian beings, and understanding how to use herbs in that way makes a lot of sense. Now, so an FDA-certified lab, make sure it's been tested. So we get the ashwagandha, I have to test them. Then we make a formula, we put a little ginger in the whole plant of the ashwagandha, and we have to test it again for the identity, for the bugs, for the heavy metals, all that gets tested. So that's what happens when you get herbs made in America. They have to be FDA approved, manufactured in an FDA certified GMP, which means good general manufacturing practices in a lab that has that on the label. Unfortunately, if you get things directly from India, there's sometimes, and there was historically, some rubber stamping where you didn't really know for sure if they were, all the testing was quite done. And I've had experience of doing that. I'm doing this for 40 years. I used to go to India and import herbs directly for many, many years. So I know how that works. So that's why I only manufacture here. So I get them tested in a lab here. So we know for sure what I'm eating, what my family's eating, what my patients are eating is actually really safe. And there's no issues with toxicity of any kind. So just so you know, that's there. You have to know how to navigate the world that's a little bit, can be a little bit unregulated in the herbal industry. But if you follow the rules, it's not unregulated. And most companies do follow the rules, but definitely there are some that don't. Okay, so when you take the whole plant of the root as with its natural microbiome, those bugs are called bacterial endophytes, and they support the integrity, the longevity, the immunity, and all the benefits of the plant. Just like if all the bugs inside of you support so much of your immunity, and your gut immunity is all based on your bugs in your gut, right? Your respiratory immunity all based on the bugs in the microbiome in your respiratory tract. So we really depend on these microbes, and to keep them healthy is a critical piece of the puzzle. And one way to do that would be to eat seasonally so you get the right foods, the right bugs for every season, and your gut microbiome changes from one season to the next. This is well understood. Stanford research has done many studies on the Hadza hunter-gatherer tribe, and they found that's exactly what happens. That's what exactly happens to all of our ancestors. It should happen with us. And you can make that happen by taking a little more ashwagandha in the whole plant that has a winter microbiome to boost your immunity during the winter months. That's why I'm talking to you about this in October, because it's a critical time of the year to start amping up your immunity and get ready for, the immune events that definitely seem to take place during those winter months. All right, so that's one of the reasons why you want whole herbs, whether it be whole ashwagandha, whole turmeric, whole tulsi. If you take extracts in high dosages over a long period of time, they may, in some people, create some liver toxicity. But when you take the whole plant in a natural way and a more seasonal way, you really never have that risk. Now, can ashwagandha be taken year-round? Yes, it surely can. If you're under a lot of stress, particularly in the whole plant way, yes, absolutely, it can be taken for stress for long periods of time. However, the goal, like in my practice with my patients, is not to give them a pill and a powder for the rest of their life, but to actually get them on them, get better and get off so they're self-sufficient, and then use foods to maintain and lifestyle to maintain that, and breathing techniques and meditation techniques to mitigate the stress. But ashwagandha can be a great adjunct if you find yourself, up against a lot of stress, which tends to, sometimes just catch up to us. And sometimes we can't avoid stressful situations. So just to know, that's how it works. All right, so we're gonna talk about ashwagandha in a couple different ways, with fertility, anxiety, metabolic syndrome, cognitive function, sleep. Now, we mentioned that ashwagandha as a natural immune booster has been shown to boost innate and adaptive immunity. So it's been well studied to boost immunity directly. But again, when you're under stress, your immune system dramatically gets compromised because there's almost so much vitality to support the stress. The body's going to have to borrow from Peter, which could be your immune response to help fight the stress. And it, unfortunately, stress will deplete and compromise immunity. I think we all kind of know that, but there's good science behind that. And that's why it's called an adaptogen, because it helps us kind of boost that immunity by dealing with the stress. It also is a natural, it boosts the what's called GABA, the gamma-aminobutyric acid, which is a neurotransmitter that supports serotonin and supports the ability for us to handle stress like water off a duck's back. Studies show that ashwagandha will boost the GABA in the brain, and that dramatically reduces levels of anxiety. It's been shown that the ashwagandha binds with the GABA receptors, which are also called the serotonin receptors, which again, during the winter, when there's no sun to make the serotonin naturally, we actually see a lack of that. And ashwagandha, a warm, heavy, sweet winter root, perfect herb to help get those serotonin and those mood happiness neurotransmitters back on board for them. It's been shown to help us with sleep in many studies. It can actually even show that this was a rodent study. They found that when the mice were given caffeine, which is a blocker of the adenosine receptors, and the adenosine receptors are the sedative receptors that put you to sleep at night. So when you have a lot of caffeine, you block that receptor, the body can't sedate itself, so it stays wired for sound, you can't go to sleep. But ashwagandha has been shown, when you give ashwagandha and with those rodents that had caffeine, they were actually able to sleep even though they had the caffeine, compared to the folks who didn't get the ashwagandha but did have the caffeine. So that's kind of really cool. Really good studies on the anxiety, really good studies on sleep. One of the constituents in ashwagandha called the withanolide A has been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier. So that makes ashwagandha really special for calming the nervous system, but particularly creating a brain chemistry of composure and calm by activating those GABA receptors, those serotonin receptors in the brain. So that's how it works, because very few things do cross the brain barrier, but one of the constituents in the ashwagandha, if you have the whole plant, you get everything and a little bit of the withanolide A to get across the blood-brain barrier. The rest will stay in your body very effectively. There was a meta-analysis done with 5 studies with over 400 participants in the study, and this was a sleep, and they found that people who did the ashwagandha compared to the placebo group saw a significant improvement in sleep. Their quality, quantity, and again, latency, which is like how long it takes you to get to sleep. And they also found that those people who were on the ashwagandha compared to the placebo saw a significant amount of mental alertness and lack of stress during the daytime, which was pretty cool. Ashwagandha has also been shown to be a powerful stress regulator. And that's done through the HPA axis, which is called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And that is the axis that really regulates how much adrenaline and stress hormone you're going to have to produce to respond to a threat, an immune threat, or any type of threat. And they found that when people were taking the ashwagandha, their cortisol levels would go up normally in the morning to get you ready for the day. But unfortunately, our culture, they go up really, really high for a lot of folks because they're so sort of kind of hair triggered, ready to handle stress, and the body knows, get ready for the stress, amp up cortisol. Well, the ashwagandha, the folks that took it, they had significantly less cortisol in the morning, enough to get them going. They had plenty of energy and vitality. Like I said, ashwagandha has been shown to give you the energy for sleep that we need to sedate ourselves, but it also gives you the energy to go run a marathon or whatever. So it's never a sedative to drug you, and it's never a stimulate to overexcite you. One study showed that not only did it decrease cortisol in the morning, but also decreased the perceived level of stress. So how much stress you perceive in your life. A lot of people feel like I ask all my patients on a scale of 1 to 10, how much stress are you perceiving your life to be? Is it a 9, a 10, an 8, a 3, or 2, 10 being the highest? And so ashwagandha has been shown to reduce that what's called perceived scale of stress, you know, dramatically. And studies also show the ashwagandha group also experienced and reported a higher quality of life, which is really important. And you have to remember also that as we start talking about metabolic syndrome, ashwagandha, when you are under a lot of stress all the time, one of the reasons for high blood sugar in the morning is that as you're sleeping, your body is trying to think about how much cortisol am I going to need to fight the stress of the day. And the body then pumps a bunch of blood sugar into the blood to match the amount of cortisol it thinks it's going to need to fight the stress of the day. And we have an epidemic problem of prediabetes in our culture because a lot of us are overshooting the morning blood sugar runway and cortisol runway. It's called the dawn phenomena, where we produce more sugar than we need, but that's because the body's thinking we're just going to be under another stressful day and life's an emergency and there's a bear chasing you 24/7. So here's a bunch of sugar to deal with that, right? And we'll talk more about that as we get into metabolic syndrome. But ashwagandha is a key factor in telling the body, no, the war is over. We can make it through this. Studies show that ashwagandha, this was in rodents, can actually increase testosterone levels. And in men, ashwagandha stress will deplete testosterone levels. And in women, stress will deplete progesterone levels. And studies show that ashwagandha is a natural precursor to testosterone in rodents. Those studies have not been replicated in humans, although there are some studies saying that if you do weight training and you have a depletion of testosterone in your system, then the ashwagandha can actually be a support system. We have a product called Testosterone Boost, which has what's called Malaysian ginseng in it and Shilajit. And those two have been well studied in humans, men and women, to boost testosterone levels. And I use ashwagandha in conjunction with that as a separate agent when I see really chronic stress there. Because how ashwagandha really works, once again, is to mitigate that stress response. And that stress response can be deplete many of the hormones in the body, progesterone for women and testosterone for men. Ashwagandha has also been shown to be a powerful antioxidant. And when you're under stress, the body creates a lot of oxidation damage. And that can cause a lot of free radical damage and DNA damage and things like that. And ashwagandha has been shown to boost the antioxidants in the liver, particularly the glutathione, the superoxide dismutase, catalase. It's been shown to increase those dramatically as well. So that's something also to know about. Studies with ashwagandha on muscular strength, powerful agent for helping us protect against sarcopenia, which is when you get older, you lose your muscle mass. And that's a critical piece of the longevity puzzle, is to stay strong, not to lose your stamina, not to lose your agility, your balance, your muscular strength, the ability to carry things. This is really, really important because studies show that any weakness or frailty that you have is directly linked to how well you would fight any type of age-related condition, whether it be cancer or heart disease or a fall or whatever it might be. So ashwagandha has been shown to boost muscle mass, muscle strength in what are called one rep maxes, which means how much you can lift just one time, whether it be for bench pressing or leg extensions or squats. Studies show the ashwagandha group were able to do more in their one rep max, which is kind of really critical. It's been shown to reduce muscular fatigue, increase physical recovery from your muscles, and increase your VO2 max. And now those studies are all done compared to the placebo group. So really, really important as well. Studies show it's been shown to help change the composition of the body by, again, dealing with stress. The body's not going to take reserve fuel, which is fat, and stored under the mattress. Studies show that when they gave mice a high-fat diet And then one group got the ashwagandha, one group didn't. The mice with the ashwagandha saw a significant increase in mitochondrial energy, significant increase in energy expenditure, and significantly less obesity and more lean muscle mass, which is kind of pretty cool. Now, those studies were not done in humans, but they were done with mice. Fertility, again, studies have been shown that ashwagandha, mostly for men, increases sperm concentration, sperm volume, sperm motility, spermogenesis. For women, it's been shown to increase decrease sexual distress, enhance sexual behavior, and increase sexual function. So again, I think, one of the things I did a forward to a book on fertility and written some articles about infertility. And for some reason, early in my career, I had many referrals for helping women with infertility. And really all we did was give them herbs like ashwagandha and shatavari, herbs that naturally build, are adaptogenic and help the body cope with stress, change their lifestyle. You know, when you're getting ready to have a baby, there's a nesting period where if the body's perceiving life as an emergency, then it's not really the best time to have a baby. If you're being chased by a bear, I mean, you're not going to be thinking about having a baby at that point in time. You need to be safe for that to happen. That safety translates, you know, into our chemistry. And if our chemistry is producing all these stress-fighting hormones, the body is just not in the chemistry to feel nested and therefore be the environment isn't safe enough to let a baby enter into the world, which is interesting. studies on anxiety, again, more one of our stresses when there's a bear chasing us. In a couple of meta-analyses where they reviewed many studies, one was 3 out of 4 studies showed the significant reduction in anxiety with the ashwagandha group. Another study that measured 3 different studies, 3 out of 3 studies show, again, a significant reduction in anxiety. And in Ayurveda, the idea is this is a fall harvested plant. You're going into a time where it's colder and drier, windier. It's more anxiety provoking. Nature says, I'm going to give you nuts and seeds and meats to kind of dampen down this tendency to be more air based. Ayurveda says the winter is governed by air, the summer governed by fire, and the spring governed by earth and water. So air moves really fast. Our nervous system moves really fast. So if you're under a very fast culture, eating cold shakes and cold smoothies and cold ice cream and cold beer, and you're, you know, and you have a constitution that has more of that air in it, you can very easily slip into overstimulation or overexcitation and therefore get anxiety. And ashwagandha has been shown to be that warm, heavy, sweet, that antidote root, that warm, heavy, sweet root, that antidote to calm the nervous system down. I think that's pretty cool. Okay, let's talk about metabolic syndrome. We started this discussion by talking about stress and how ashwagandha is sort of the answer to that in a herbal way. When you look at the epidemic of our time today in our culture, we're looking at metabolic syndrome, which is high blood sugar, high blood sugar, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, low HDL, and extra weight around your belly. That's metabolic syndrome, epidemic of our culture right now. Well, studies show that ashwagandha has been shown to reverse metabolic syndrome. It's shown to lower the LDL cholesterol, lower your regular cholesterol, lower your triglycerides, lower your blood pressure, and lower your blood sugar, and lower abdominal obesity. But you got to think about why that is, right? So you got to think, okay, why do we have this metabolic syndrome in our culture today? And like I said in the beginning, we are under way more stress than ever before. We have this chronic incoming stress. Our nervous system responding to life as an emergency. There's a bear chasing us 24/7. Maybe it's not close enough to be an emergency immediate threat, but it's a threat that's constantly there, constantly going here, going there, going here, going there. Got to do this, got to do that. Go through your phone, this and that. Pay the bills. It's a lot. And humans never did this before. You know, when you talk about ancient humans, you know, it was very simple. Plant your food, grow it. I mean, there are bad times for sure, but it wasn't like the chronic incoming, that loss of that silence of nature, that we talk about so much in Ayurveda. Well, so if your body is responding to life as an emergency and at a subtle level is feeling there's a bear chasing you 24/7, your body's going to put more sugar into the blood to get you up a tree to save your life. And that's the high blood sugar. It's going to put more fat or cholesterol into your bloodstream so you can make more stress-fighting hormone, which is made from cholesterol, again, to help you have the stress hormones to get you up that tree faster and save your life. It's going to raise your blood pressure to get you up that tree faster. It's going to take any reserve fuel it can find and put it under the mattress and store it for a rainy day as reserve fat, obesity tendency, or visceral fat, because it never knows if the war is going to ever end. So I wrote an article about this because I was so frustrated that so many of my patients have metabolic syndrome and the doctor wants to put them on a statin or metformin or something like that. And then when I said, well, let's look at the science of stress impacting these, and every one of the things I just mentioned are well studied that stress causes every one of the aspects of metabolic syndrome. Then I said, what if we took meditation, which we know to be a stress reduction tool, well studied, and study after study after study after study shows that meditation, I highly encourage you to look at our 1 minute meditation, which is free. We have a meditation course you can take. Learn how to meditate anywhere, anyway. Learn how to meditate. Turn the volume off. Meditation was a tool to entrain your brain, your nervous system with the silence of a forest. So our nervous system understands that we're supposed to be still like a lake. Once in a while, a storm comes, but generally speaking, nature's pretty still. Generally speaking, we are pretty not still. So we want to get down to being still. And yoga and breathing and meditation, I've written article after article after article at lifespot.com where you can learn how to do yoga, breathe, meditate, all for free. There's 1,500 articles with deep dive videos there where you can take a deeper dive into some of the ways to help still your nervous system. But meditation, a tool to reverse mitigate that. Ashwagandha, another tool to reverse that. Yoga and breathing, another tool. A diet in harmony with nature, eating with the seasons. You know, learning how to hail from that eye of the storm, the calm that supports the winds. And this is the Ayurvedic message, really, and really the message of ashwagandha, to be able to be dynamically active in your life and calm at the same time. I'm not saying because, yeah, life's stressful, we're all pushing 8 out of 10, you should just meditate all day long and not engage in your life. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we are humans. We have, I believe, unlimited potential. But if you're in the winds of the storm, dodging all the refrigerators and tree trunks that are going to take you out, very dangerous in that stressful winds. And if you start teaching your nervous system to become calm and become still, and you hail from there, and the bigger the calm you can create in your life with more yoga, breathing, meditation, ashwagandha, living in harmony with nature, the more powerful the winds, the more productive you can be. But we are all limited by how much stress we can endure. And that's because most of us live in the winds of the storm. And the whole point of this podcast message is in the fall, for the winter, we need to dig in and get more of those proteins and more of those fats, nuts and seeds that the squirrels are eating. More herbs like warm, heavy, sweet roots like ashwagandha. More yoga, breathing, meditation. Ayurvedic oil on your skin to dampen the coldness and dryness on your skin to create a neurological calm. Because this is nature's resting phase. Long nights, short days. Time to get the rest. And that rest you get in the winter is like pulling back your bow to be incredibly dynamic and active and productive come spring and summer. All right. So guys, if you're listening to this and you like it, please like, subscribe, follow me on this podcast, or go to lifespa.com. Get all the articles. This article shows you the video there. I've written about 15 articles on ashwagandha with all the science. All of it's there for you for free. Deep dive. More videos are there for you for free. And while you're at lifespa.com reading the articles, check out our newsletter, sign up for that, get this information about ancient wisdom and modern science, because science alone is not good enough. It can prove whatever it wants, but when you have thousands of years of time-tested wisdom and the science, you got something I think you can hold your hat on. And that's really important. And while you're there, check out our Ayurvedic store at lifespa.com. We have all of our whole food, ashwagandha, bacopa, all of our herbs that I've formulated over the years are there at the Life Spa store. And of course, all of our skincare and books and tapes and everything I've done there is there as well. All right, you guys. Well, thanks for listening and hope to see you next time. Hi, everybody. I just want to take a minute and tell you what we do here at lifespa.com. You know, I've been in practice now for 40 years, 38 of them have been practicing Ayurvedic medicine full time. For the last 20 years, I've been writing articles and doing videos on the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with the modern science. You know, if something's been around for 1,000 years, still practiced today, and you have modern science to prove it, boy, I really feel like that's something we should all be taking a look at. And that's what we do at lifespa.com. And all that information is for free. So just go to lifespa.com and search in your health topic, and you'll get the information, the article that you need, hopefully that will help you. While you're there, check out our Ayurvedic store. You can get there through lifespa.com or go to store.lifespa.com. And there we have all of our organic Ayurvedic herbs, organic skincare line, more books, tapes, knowledge that we give you is all there at our store. All of our cleansing kits are there in our store. All of our herbs are whole herbs with the natural occurring microbiome, the way it came out of the soil. And that's critically important because if I took the bugs out of you, you'd be completely different. We take the bugs away from a plant, like sterilizing and making an extract or spraying your food with pesticides, you lose significant benefit of that plant. And that's why we use the whole plant with the natural occurring microbiome. So check us out, learn more about what we're doing here at lifespa.com, and we'll see you again.
This recording is brought to you by Life Spa, where ancient Ayurvedic wisdom meets modern science. Get access to free health video newsletters by Dr. John at lifespa.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.